a real mom. You know, I've often thought any woman can probably have a child, you know, but not any woman can be a mother to that child. I mean, there's a big difference, because there's a lot of things that goes in to raising kids and to having kids. Just having kids is horrible. There's more women here, I'm going to amen that, than there are men. But you know, it's not easy to have children. God didn't say it would be easy, did he? But you know, the powerful thing is that in Scripture, a woman's love and devotion and sacrificial giving for her family, her children, is compared to God's sacrificial love and care for him, his children. And that's who we are today. We're children of God. If you're here saved, washed by the blood of Jesus, guess what? You're children of God. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a child of God. Oh, do you really believe that? Think about what a privilege that is to be called a child of God. You're a child of God. Now, I want you to turn to somebody like you really mean it and say, I am a child of God. Rev it up. Really not. If anything, be done. But I do have a scripture that's on my heart. So this pastor really needs the attention and really needs the support and the reverence of God's people today. Let me say this. A lot of people don't know this because we got a lot of people coming. I don't say this to intimidate you. But right now, all over the world, there are people watching via live stream this service. They are watching from corners of the earth. Will sent me that the other day, that info spread, that spreadsheet about all the targets all over the world. People from all over the world target this ministry and they listen in consistently from people all over the world. From China to Russia, listen to South America, you know, all over the world. Japan, you know, Canada, all over the parts of the earth. And so that is an awesome thing. So sometimes we don't want to forget that. But for all those who are listening in today, just know this, that there is a God who loves you. And there are people who are praying for you. So we got to be mindful to know that what goes on here at Lost Creek is not just about what goes on here at Lost Creek. But God is using this ministry to touch the earth. Amen. That has been spoken over this ministry. Long before this ministry, really got live stream and all that, that God would use this ministry to touch the earth. So I thank God for that. And today, knowing that whoever's listening out there, can you invite them in and give them a big, warm Lost Creek welcome today? I had another thing that I wanted to share, but I'm not going to ask Becky to do that. I had another thing about Mother's Day. And we're not going to be here very long. I want you to go home, and I want you to hang out with Mom today if you're blessed and privileged to have Mom. I can't really do that in the natural sense. I get to hang out with the mom of my kids, and she's the most incredible mom that I know of. And she loves her kids, and God knows the prayers that she's prayed. Listen. When Kathy Reynolds prays, you better believe. Listen, she's hooked up. She can pray. She talks to God, all right? And so I appreciate being able to hang out. But my mom's in heaven with Jesus. And I'm looking forward to the day that I get to see her again under all different circumstances, Kelly. I'll get to hang out with her. Because my mom, early on in my life, did majorly influence my life. And if you have a mother that's influenced your life, thank God for that. Okay? Listen, mothers are not perfect. You know, we got this image that mothers are perfect. Mothers are not perfect. They make mistakes. They mess up just like everybody else. But a mom that really, truly has her children in heart truly loves her children. And can I say something this morning? That God spoke to me something this week. And God speaks to us in the strangest of ways. And as Corey was talking about. But I was listening to the news. And this news feed came across. And it got my attention. And I've thought about that all week. And I briefly mentioned it the other night over Mountain City. But I saw this. And some of you probably have seen it also. But it was talking about this child. It was a toddler. I don't know how old a child, but the child was, they were out hiking, and they were near a cliff. And this, no guardrails or no fence, and this child got too close to the edge, and the mother was real close to it, standing back a little ways, but the child plummeted over the cliff. The mother, reaching out, as a mother would, to grab that child, lost her footing, and fell 60 feet. And her love protected that child. That child survived with just minor scrapes, but the mother died. The mother died for that child. Somebody died for you, my friend. You know what? The Lord spoke to me, and there is a term, and some of you may have heard this before, and I'm sure in the business world and different parts of, you know, different ways that we can use this term, but the Lord spoke to me something out of this, and I looked at it. What that mother did, she became that child's fall guy. She took the fall for that child, and she protected that child, and she loved it through the whole fall. She took the death for that child, and that child was pulled out of that mother's arms. While the mother protected the fall of the child to make sure that somehow or another, I don't know how that happened, but she took the fall for that child. And the Lord spoke to me, and the sacrifice that that mother made that that child lived is compared to the sacrifice that God's Son, Jesus, made for you and I today, that we are living. Jesus died that we might live. Do you not know that? Jesus, listen, became the curse so the curse could be removed from us. Jesus died for us. He became sin for us. He took the judgment of sin for us. Listen, you and I should have taken this death. Every person that's born in this earth is born into sin. We were guilty of our sin. We're all born in sin. The Bible says in Romans that we have all sinned and come short of God's glory. Do you not know that? The Bible says that. We've all messed up. We've all sinned. Guess what? We have all fallen. Oh, we've all fallen. We've all fallen. We've all plummeted. You know, our sin has called us to fall. And the original fall happened in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. God had this walk with man, and he walked with God in the cool of the day. And God gave him dominion, gave him authority. God blessed him and placed him in this beautiful paradise, this garden full of all the amazing and awesome things that you could imagine that God would place in there. And God placed man, and he gave him a woman. You know the story very well. He caused a deep sleep to come upon man because this man was lonely. And it wasn't meant, God said, for man to dwell alone. And so God calls this deep sleep to come upon this man. And out of the first Adam, he pulled a bone from his side, a rib. And he created this woman, this helpmate, this companion that would raise his children, that would help him to have authority in the beginning. But something entered into the situation. Something entered into the life of man. And so we know the story very well. We're not going to spend any time there, but you know the story how man fell. that God placed all the beautiful things and all the trees in the garden that was good. And he told him not to touch this one tree. It was a tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And you know the story. And oftentimes we know that, but we fail to remember that God has a powerful truth in there for us. God told him there was something that he didn't want them to mess with or touch. And you know what? I remember in my life, my mother, she always had wisdom. But there was a time early on in my life that I listened to what my mom said. But as all children go, there are times in our life we don't always listen to what our mother says. Well, maybe you guys got it all together. You did everything your mom asked you to do, right? Lord, forgive them right now. How many lied to your mom? How many told your mom you was going to do something and you didn't? How many disobeyed your mom? How many got a little sassy sometimes with your mom? You know what? Although I did hear something, Jody, about you, really powerful, man. You know, this is commendable, but this is from the lips of your precious mom. So I got wind of this. I'm going to share a little secret right here, okay? I'm going to share this little secret. So, you know, Lois was telling, as Jody's mom, that, you know, raising her kids, Jody was the only kid. Now, I didn't say he's perfect, okay? We're not making a saint out of him, even though in the Bible he is called a saint. But the fact is, she said, he's the only child that didn't talk back to me. When I told him to do something, he did it. He did it. That's commendable. How many knows that? But see, I don't have that on my record. Stephen, I don't have that on my record. There was a time that I got cocky, and I got young. I mean, I got, you know, full of myself as a young teenager, all this stuff going on, this hormone stuff. And I didn't think my mom had the wisdom later on to tell me what to do. But I know now, looking back, that she had more wisdom than I give her credit for. You know, God has more wisdom than we give him credit for. But why does he always tell us? How many in here ever heard your mom say this? If I tell you this more than once, you're in trouble. All right, there's a few honest people in here. The fact is, we've all fallen. We've all messed up. And man, in the beginning, he knew that there was something God told him not to do. Don't touch that tree. But he went and touched the tree. His woman, Eve, she took of the fruit and she ate it. And then man, when he faced God, tried to blame the woman for it. Men still doing that today. Trying to bring all the problems on the women. I should have got a shout from the women right there. What's wrong with you guys? Isn't there always something, somebody we're trying to blame when we mess up and when we fall? Isn't there always somebody that we try to blame when things are not going our way? Isn't there always we're trying to blame or accuse somebody when we know that we're not right or we're not doing the right thing? Isn't it always easy to blame somebody else than to take the fall or take the responsibility for the fall ourselves? Where is Hannah Beth? We've all fallen. Okay, she's teaching today, but I'm going to tell a story. This is a good time to tell a story on her. This really just reminded me of a fall. How many here has ever had really physical falls before? I'm talking about fall. Fall, hurt, fall, bad, pain, you know, blood. How many has ever had a fall before in your life, okay? I see some hands, you know, wagging, and I see some smiles. So that means that you've had a few falls. Well, I've had a few falls in my life, but my granddaughter, Hannah Beth, this week in school, oh, Jesus, bless her, Lord. But in school this week, she was right in the middle of a class and tables and everything. And here she gets up and she goes toward her desk and her shoes are untied. How many times has your mother told you before, tie your shoes? Come on, guys. How many in here has your mother ever told you to tie your shoes? How many moms in here taught their children how to tie school? Thank God for kindergarten teachers, preschool teachers. Because you know what? They really stepped up and helped mom out, Josh, because they really taught children a lot in school, helping to, you know, tie their shoes and so forth. But you know what, Roman? She didn't tie her shoes for some reason, or they come untied. And she stepped on a shoestring, and she fell. And she took her on the side of her head. She's probably got it covered up with makeup. She's got a big contusion. Is that what you call it? And she hit her head on the side of the desk. And everybody like, whoa, you know, are y'all right, Hannah? But how many knows that we can have some pretty bad falls in life? But you know what? There's no fall that you could take that there's not recovering when you fall. Because somebody is there waiting to pick you up when you do fall and when you do mess up. It's like a mom that's always there. How many knows that a mom just seems to always be there? She just seems to be there. Where did she come from? How did she know that? How many knows that your mom knows about everything and about everybody, right? She knows every secret probably that you thought that you kept and you thought that she didn't know, but she knew about that. But you know what? We've all fallen. And God is this great and merciful God who loves us unconditionally, no matter how far we've fallen. You know, I remember that in my life with my own mom. No matter how ornery, how ridiculously difficult that I was in my life as a child growing up, I'd mess up. And mom always had good advice, and she always loved me. Anyway, I'm not saying that she never did get mad at me. She got mad at me a few times. She's chased me a time or two with a switch or whatever. She didn't beat me or anything like that, but she's, you know, the only memorable whipping I ever got was from my dad, and he got a belt on me. If you do that today, or if you correct your children today, you're going to get social services called on you. There's a right way to correct people. How many know that? And there's a wrong way to correct people. How many knows that? But I'm going to tell you, you're corrected because somebody loves you. God corrects his children. And when we get out of line and we fall, guess what? God steps in there and helps us break the fall. Because he's a God that truly loves us. And he loves his children. And he loves us unconditionally. So no matter what you're going through or what you've been through, know this, that there's a God who loves you, and he don't care about your past. He don't care how messed up you are. He don't care about how great you think you are. God just loves you. He loves you greater than any mom could love you. And a mom's love, yes, you know, I may have shared this before, Grant, but this is worthy of mentioning again. Those people wasn't here, but I was probably 12 years old or 11 years old. Thought I was Tarzan. And I was a kid that loved to hang in the woods. I remember my mom being all day long out in the woods. We wouldn't think about our children be that far detached from us. But I was raised back in the woods, and it wasn't anything uncommon for me to be in the woods all day long, swing from grapevines, jump in trees and bend them over. I know you don't. Oh, I wouldn't advise kids to do that today. Make forts and do all kinds of ridiculous things out there as kids do, young kids do. But you know what? We were in a big ravine one day, and we were swinging from this big, huge grapevine. And what everybody would do, we didn't have water. I mean, there was water down there, but it was about that deep. So it wasn't when we were swinging out and jumping in a lake like some people do today. But we were all swinging on this big, huge grapevine that came down from this big tree that hung over the ravine. And everybody swung all day long. And I don't know how old that grapevine was, but by the end of the day, everybody had swung and we'd all swung. But I was the last ride on that grapevine. Mind you that this ravine was about 20 feet deep. There was nothing there but a big, huge rock. A big, huge rock. And so they'd all taken their turns, and I got on that thing, you know, acting like Tarzan, acting crazy. You know how Tarzan hollers, you know. I can't do that right now. I don't even remember how he hollers. But I can hear it in my mind. But you know what I'm talking about. And I grabbed that vine, and I went out over that ravine. And in the middle of that ravine, coming back, that thing snapped. I fell 20 feet flat on my back on a huge rock. I thought I was dead. I thought that I was dying. For some reason, my uncle, my mother's brother, always thought that people nearly dying was funny for some reason or another. I don't know in here how many laugh when people fall. Let's see how many real people in here really laugh when people fall. I mean, they make videos of people falling. You know, I think about some of these falls that we sit around. We lose our breath over, and I think, those poor people. Cam, listen, what they went through to get that video footage. Listen, how many broken bones, how many emergency rooms, how many things they went through just to get that video footage, and to say that people fall and we all laugh at people's falls. And people do that. My uncle did, and I was nearly dying. In fact, I didn't have breath in my body. That's no lie. I'm not telling you. I was fighting for breath. I had knocked the breath out of me. The fall was so hard that it knocked the breath out of me. It knocked life out of me. There are people in this room right now, spiritually, you've taken a fall and you've taken a tumble. And right now, you're just trying to grasp your breath. You're trying to keep up. You're trying to hang on. And listen, knowing this, that God is the one that gives us breath. He's the one that gives us life. It's in Him that we live, we move, and we have our being. You can do nothing apart from God. And if you think you've got it all figured out, like you did one day when your mom was trying to tell you the right things and you said, nobody can tell me what to do. You know, there was a time when I was 16 or 17 years of age, I actually said that. Nobody can tell me what to do. But then I had to learn a few hard lessons, that there is somebody who has control over my life. There is somebody who's got my destiny in His hand. There's somebody that's got control over our lives. This God loves you today. Your life is in His hands. Do you not know that? If you don't know it, guess what? You've got another hard lesson coming up. Oh, so I remember that fall. I remember those falls. I remember those falls. I remember that fall, and there's others I could say. I was a 3 or 4 year old, and I fell through the floor and remodeling the house, and they had the floor open, and 3 or 4 year old don't know how deep that is. And I just fell through the floor, hit the basement, all the way down to the basement, and hit my head. And some of you shaking your head now and saying, I know, I understand, Pastor, what's happening. I know. Look what the Lord has dealt us. He dealt us some crazy pastor that fell through the floor when he was 4 years old and lost all of his senses. How many knows it's all right to laugh? Some of you need to laugh more. Turn to somebody and say, I need to have a good laugh every now and then. How many knows that your mama laugh at you? How many knows that she's the only one that really can laugh at you? Well, guess what? God laughs at us too. Oh, man, we're just all full of it, man. God just shaking his head down there and saying, oh, he got to learn a lesson. You don't have it figured out. Quit acting like you got it figured out. Just realize that there's a Jesus in heaven who loved you, who sacrificially gave everything for you that you could have life. So I looked at the word fall quickly. Fall guy is a phrase that refers to a person to whom blame is deliberately and falsely attributed in order to deflect the blame from another party. We were the party. We were the ones. We were the ones that were cursed. We were the ones that should have died. We were the ones, just like that child, that mother saved and rescued that life. Though they both could have died. Or the mother could have survived and the child could have been. But all that was on that mother's mind as she reached over the cliff and reached out and grabbed her child, she wanted to break the fall from him. She took the fall from him for him. How many knows that there was a God in heaven when we should have died? We should have hung on the cross. We should have had judgment. We should have died for our sins. We should have had to pay the penalty for our sins. You know what the penalty for sin is? It's death. It's judgment. It's hell. How many knows that? If you believe the Bible, you may not believe the Bible totally. But I'm saying there is a penalty for sin. Sin has to be paid. We all sin. We come short. Did we not tell you at the beginning? We all fail. There had to be a payment for that sin. You've got to understand this, guys. This is the gospel. This is the truth. We all had to die or pay for the sin, the penalty for our sin. We were all like that child falling over that cliff, plummeting to our death. But somebody, everybody shout somebody. It wasn't just somebody. It was a love of God directed to us through the person of his son Jesus. He reached over that cliff. He embraced us. And he associated with our sins. He fell to his death. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He associated with our fall. Even though there was no guile ever found in his mouth. Get a hold of this. Please, please get a hold of this. There was no wrong in his life. There was no sin in his life. Yet, Jesus took your sin, Roman. He took your addiction. He took your struggle. He took your lying. He took all that stuff. And he reached over the cliff. And he found a young man from Northern Virginia plummeting to his death. And Jesus reached out and put his arms around you. He pulled you to himself. And he took the death for you. You, Josh. He took the death. He took the fall for you. Dakota, he took the fall for you. Upon him. Isaiah 53, upon him was laid the iniquity of us all, Grant. Imagine that, brother. Imagine all of us. We didn't even believe in God. We were our own gods. We were doing our own thing. We were messed up, falling in our sins, headed where? To a bottomless pit of destruction and death. Eternal death. But God saw us. He saw us. How many knows that God sees everything? I always wonder, well, Lord, how does my mom know all that? It seems like she just sees everything that goes on. How many knows that moms got eyes in the back of their heads? Just like teachers do. Have you ever heard that say? I've had kids in my classroom say, Mr. R, you got eyes in the back of your head. And I thought the same thing about my mother. But yet she loved me. She loved me. So today, no greater friend than one could have than one would lay down his life for a friend. And I want to say this about my mom. She may not be hearing what I'm saying right now. But one day I'm going to hug her again and thank her for everything that she's done for me. And I probably didn't say that enough, Mom. When I was here. But I'll say this for you, Mom. You did love me. You love me, my mess and all. God loves you here today, friend. No greater friend than you could have. Definitely a real mom is a friend. We have a generation today that only want to be friends to their children. You're a mom. I got one amen out of that. I said, you're a mom, then you're a friend. How many knows that if your mom's really a mom, she's a real friend? How many knows that Jesus is a real friend? He's not going to leave you beside the road somewhere. He's going to get to you if he can. And when I fail, he made a point to get to me. When we all fail, God made a point to get to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. How many knows that you don't have to die from your fall? You don't have to die in your sin. You don't have to die messed up. You don't have to die messed up on drugs. You don't have to die, listen, messed up in some place of prostitution, some place of wrong, some place of being messed up. You don't have to die that way. There's a God in heaven who took the fall for you, who stepped in your place and said, listen, Father, I'll go. Send me. I'll go. I'll rescue them from their fall. That is 100% gospel truth. Whether you believe it or not, that's what Jesus did for you. But it don't make me happy. Don't make me feel goosebumps all over me. Don't listen. What you need is truth. You get truth, then you can shout. And you can jump and you can scream. But first of all, you need to get a hold of truth. And some of you here today need to get a hold of truth that your family's lost and they're falling in their sin. And I'm passionate about that. That's why God's called us to reach the fallen. The fallen. Who are falling in their sins, plummeting to their death. People every day, people in your family falling. But we still got to do all of our things, don't we? I heard somebody tell me the other day, pulled his vehicle down there, and he's an awesome brother. This was several months ago, and he tooted on the horn. He's always got something powerful to say to me, encouraging. Rolled down his window and said, Brother Jesus is coming. I said, that's awesome. Everybody's saying that. But do we believe it? Oh, yeah. I know it's easy to say, yeah, I believe it. But what are we doing to change the course of men who are falling in their sin? Yes, we believe that Jesus is coming. And I told him, I said, do you really believe that? Hang on there, Kathy, don't fall. How many knows that if we really believe that? I know it's easy to say that. And I told him, I said, I looked at him. He looked at me strange, like, well, I just said he was coming. I said, if you really believe that he's coming, what are we doing today so people will be ready when he does come? You get the point. What are we doing? What are we doing to change the course of people's fall? So what do you mean? Well, yes, we got to be willing to share the truth and share it in love. Not out of a critical spirit, not out of a judgmental attitude. That's what people have seen in the church for a long time. That's why people won't come to church. And when you see people who do come, who does have problems and who have messed up. And when you see them come, it's an uncommon thing to see that so consistently. And what is God saying to us in this ministry? We have a mandate upon us. Our mandate is not to fulfill our own selfish desires, not to fulfill our own selfish purpose and our egos, but our mandate is to take the gospel and reach the lost at all costs. Reach over, be the hands and feet of Jesus. You know somebody that's falling, you reach out in Jesus' name and you intercept that fall and you embrace them with love unconditionally. You let those people know that they're loved and they can be forgiven and that God can accept them. Amen. Not their sin. Not accept their sin. Because I love people don't mean I have to agree with what they're doing. Why do we have such a problem with that? God just says love him. Billy, you're a fisherman. So, have you ever caught any fish before out of that little boat of yours? Have you ever caught before you caught the fish? Have you ever cleaned it before you got in the boat? How many knows that's pretty hard? How many knows it's hard to clean a fish before you get it in the boat? Come on, some of you are acting like deer in headlights. This is just common stuff, friend. Nothing, no rocket science here. How many knows it's hard? It's difficult to clean a fish before you catch it. You got to get it in the boat. Listen, before God can change you, He's got to get you in the boat. Before God can change your direction, He's got to get in your life. He's got to rescue your life. He's got to lift your life from the sin that you're in. Because we're falling. And I'm closing. Let it be said, I'm reminded of Jenny here. Oh, how many falls at Little Willow? Ben's not there yet because he's not walking. But although he's had a couple falls, and him not even got legs on him. So, I mean, he's got legs, but I mean, you know what I'm saying, Joyce. He's not walking. Of course, he's got legs. But I'm saying he's not walking yet. How many knows before you can run, you got to learn to walk? And before you walk, how many knows that you're going to take a few falls? Because you learn something in that fall. You learn 100 ways how not to fall and get hurt. But kids are this endless reservoir of learning. They're going everywhere. And Willow falls, and she's had some spills under Kathy and my care. And we were so quick to tell Jenny and Will, hey, listen, we didn't do anything to her. We didn't abuse her or anything. So they just fail. How many knows that sometimes people can think the wrong thing when they see bruises and knocks on your kids? Like the social services one time was called on Kathy and me. We were in the emergency room with Jenny, and she had a broke arm. And Kathy got insulted. I got a little bit insulted, Cindy, because here comes the social worker. And you know, I thank God for people like that because they're looking out, you know, for the best. But sometimes they're so eager to accuse. So here we were in the emergency room, and so they called us over to the side, and they began to question us, like, you know, how our house was, how our household, our home, you know, what kind of things are going on in the home. And you know what the thing is? This is a powerful thing. There's someone always mindful. But I was thinking about Jenny. And I saw her the other day, and I saw her on the porch, and I was out in the car, and it was one of those moments that I just thank God for my daughter. My daughter's come a long way in a few short years. I look at some of you all here today. I look at Bree and Clay back there. From a year to this point, a year ago, they thought their life was over. And today, they're a testament to God's grace, how God can take someone, rescue them from their darkness, and turn their life around. Can God not do that? Do you love Him for it? Because He can do it. Bobby, no one like Him. Nobody like God. He's cool. He's super cool. He's totally awesome. We don't have enough words in the English language to describe how big and great and awesome He is. But I was thinking of Jenny, and I said, boy, she had one in this arm, and she had one in this arm. She was carrying, like, Ben this way, and she was leading Willow this way. You know what I've been talking about, don't you? How many knows that your arms are full when you're really being a mom? Lord Jesus, let people get a hold of this simple message today. Just let people get a hold of this simple message today. That there's nothing easy about being a mom. And I look at all that God does, I'm going to say, God, there is nothing easy about that. But of course, to God, He does it all the time. And He does it with such accuracy and consistency and faithfulness. God just shows up and He reaches down to us consistently and takes our falls. took our fall and breaks us today from our falls. But I was thinking of Jenny as we're closing. Let it be said that there's nothing about being a mom that's convenient. And we are all about convenience in this nation. We're beyond the microwave generation. We're all about cell phones. And if our cell phones don't work, man, we're freaking out. We're just like sweat beads are popping out on our head. And we're sort of going apart. And cell phones and media. And listen, calling people instantly. We want everything instantly. How many knows that we're living in a generation that wants everything now? God is not determined by your modern now. God is who He is. You ain't going to chain Him. You ain't going to hold Him up. And you ain't going to stop Him. So just get used to that. But the fact is, we're all used to convenience, so much so. And our life thrives on it. Oh, thank the Lord for mothers that know that they got packable lunches they can stick in the microwave. Thank the Lord for, you know, Lunchables and all those things. When my mom was just slapping bologna between bread, there's nothing wrong with that. People still do that. And if I did have it, you know, back then. But you know what? Today is about convenience. There's nothing convenient, Jenny, about being a mom to two little children that are about the same age. How many knows it's pretty difficult to go through some two-year-olds? Nothing convenient about being a parent. Can somebody, amen? I'm saying if you do your job right, there's nothing easy or convenient about it. There's just stuff that goes with the territory. Cleaning noses, it goes with the territory. Breaking fevers, it goes with the territory. Listen, praying and hoping the child, listen, taking them to the ER, praying over them, listen, speaking into their life, sometimes getting in their face and letting them know that Mama Bear means business. How many knows there's nothing convenient about being a mom or a parent? Nothing convenient about what God did. I said there was nothing convenient about what God did. God saw you falling, and He sent His best to break your fall. Now, what did you do to deserve that fall, Josh? Chris, what did we do to deserve that fall? We were all guilty of death. Nothing convenient about the fact that God sent the best that He had, and He sacrificed greatly. And when He died on the cross, He had to turn His head from the death of His Son. Lord, wow. I don't know what that woman, her relationship was to You, Lord, but I know when she reached over that cliff and she took the risk of grabbing that child and falling herself, she didn't know that even though she wanted to, that she would die. And she would give life to her child. That's what Jesus did for us. He reached over the cliff. He reached over to the brinks of hell. Jude says he pulled us out of hell. That's what the Lord did. He pulled you out of hell, friend. How many in here right now, if it hadn't been for the Lord, would not have been here right now? You know it 100%. Come on, raise your hand. Be truth. You know you wasn't here. Nakia, how many times did you cold in the air? How many times were you shot by that weapon? 5 times, 7 times. I don't know how many times you were shot by that weapon. But you could have died. But you know what? Jesus reached over your cliff. He reached over your cliff. He pulled you from the fall. And He took the fall for you. He died, Tony, so you wouldn't have to die. He gave life so you could have life. He became your victim. He was defeated that He might give you victory. Defeated in the fact that He died, but He didn't stay dead. Hallelujah. Amen. How many knows that He's risen? He's a risen Savior. He's a rescuing God. He's a loving God. He's a faithful God. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. He took my fall. He became my sin. He paid my debt. He took my curse. He became my judgment. He carried my sorrow. He bore my pain. And he took my death. Oh, thank the Lord. You know what? A mom is a lot like that. Talking to some people's heart. People came forward earlier. I want us to just park it right here and know that God's love and mom's love are all alike. And if you have your mom, if you're blessed to have your mom living with you, give thanks to God for your mom. You go to her if it's possible for you to go to her. You put your arms around her and say, "Mom, I'm thankful that you saved me from many falls. And even when I did fall, Mom, you were there to pick me up. You were there to pick me up. Becky, you got a godly mom. She raised you to fear the Lord, to love God." And most of us here. Becky, other Becky up there, you got a godly mom. You got a mom who loves you. Corey, you got a godly mom. Thank the Lord for godly mothers. You say, "Well, you know, Pastor R, maybe I'm here. I never did know my mom." Oh, where we slack or lack, guess what? God makes up the difference. I know people behind the walls, ministry people behind the walls. I don't have my mother. I didn't have a relationship with my mother, or my mother abused me, or my mother did this, my mother did that. Listen, those things can't happen. But God is able to step in where mom can't and lift you from the angry ways of your despair and pick you up and break your fall or stand the fall for you. So today, if you're here, thank the Lord for our moms. Thank the Lord for our moms today. Thank the Lord for our moms today. Thank the Lord for our moms. I'm going to leave you with this scripture right here. Okay, everybody say, just be patient. Everybody say, be patient. All right. Isaiah 49, listen to this verse, and I want you to take this home with you, and I want you to think about this week and remember what the Lord is saying here. It said, "Can a woman forget her nursing child?" We can think, well, Lord, how in the world could a mom forget her child that's nursing? Is it possible to do that? Maybe possible. "And not have compassion on the son of her womb. Surely they may forget." And how many knows that mothers can forget? How many real people here right now with me? Are you still with me or are you checked out? Okay, raise your hands. How many in here knows that moms can forget? How many's ever gone to your mom? "But Mom, you told me." How many knows that mothers can forget? Dads can forget. Listen to this real carefully. But he says, your mother may forget. She may forget. But he says, but I will not forget you. Think about that. They may forget. But yes, I will not forget you. Because why? I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. And your walls are continually for me. So listen right here real careful what I'm saying. You know what God does? This is what he does. Can you hold this for me, Big D? Hold this for me right here. Just hold it right here where I can talk. Where's those things? Those Garth Brooks things that you put across your ears. You know what the Lord does? Well, my hand's sweaty. Has anybody got a pen and a write? But this is what the Lord does. You know, when I was in school, Kathy, how many times in school did we write "Kathy loves Jeff" on our hands? And some of you looking at me like you're cool. You've done the same thing. How many wrote your boyfriend or your girlfriend's name on the palm of your hands? Let's go a little bit better than that. How many wrote a phone number on the palm of your hands? so I won't what? Forget. They used to laugh at me at school. And they say, Mr. R, look at his hands. Because, Kelly, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but, you know, I wasn't computer savvy, and I didn't have a cell phone. You can't have them in school anyway. I'd write notes all over my hands so I wouldn't forget things. And you know what? I don't know if my mom ever did do that, but I know that I've written some things on my hand so I wouldn't forget it. But let me tell you where you are today. You're written on the palm of his hands. And his hands. Yes, that's right. 90 people should have praised God right here, because that's where you are. You're written, etched in his heart, written in the palm of his hands. So he won't forget you. He's not going to forget you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, God always remembers. He loves you. He's not going to forget you. And he's going to come to you. And today he's coming to you. Those walls of Jerusalem were destroyed. But God says, your walls are going to be before me. That means that he was looking ahead, not the walls that were ruined, but the walls that were going to be put back together. Can I say to you that God don't look at your past and remember all the awful stuff that you've done? Because Micah 7 says this is what he did. He cast my sins into the sea of forgetfulness. He took my sin and he cast it into the depths of the ocean. He cast it under the depths of his son's blood. And he doesn't forget my past. My past has been eradicated. My sins have been eradicated. And all that he remembers, we've been written in the palms of his hands. Everybody say, he loves me. Turn to somebody else and say, he loves me. He loves me. I want you to bow your head here today. Some of you here, you've fallen, you've messed up. You're here today and you're struggling. You're here today and you need to be reminded that there's a God in heaven who loves you. Like that mother's love, who loves her children, who doesn't forget, and sometimes, if possible, to forget. God says, I'll never forget you. God knows you're here today. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've done. Listen, we can sort of hide, run, and do all these things. But listen, they used to say you can't run from mom. I tried to do that. I've tried to run from God. But I'll tell you one thing, you can't run from him. Because wherever you are, God is. So today, wherever you are and whatever you're going through, God is. He's there. And he's reaching out to you today to break your fall. So you're here in this room right now and you say, Pastor R, that's me. Slip your hand up with mine right now. That's me. Pastor R, that's me. God bless that hand. Thank you for being honest today. God bless that hand. Anybody else today? Slip your hand. God bless that hand. Anyone else today? And I know you're going to go get flowers for your mom. I know you're going to take your mom out probably if your mom's living. You're going to do things for your kids. You're going to do that. That's an awesome thing that you're going to be able to do that. But today, let's take just a moment to reflect upon God's love for us. If you're here today and you've fallen, you've messed up. God loves you. And he's reaching over the cliff for you. And if that's you, I want you to slip your hand up with mine. Anybody else, slip their hand up. God bless that hand. Be honest. Thank you for being honest today. Anyone else? God bless that hand. Anyone else? Just all over the room right now, be honest. I think a person falling off the cliff is not going to worry about being